The Quiz Kids, brought to you by the makers of Alka-Seltzer.
Alka-Seltzer for headaches.
Alka-Seltzer for acid indigestion.
Alka-Seltzer for cold distress.
Yes, when these occasional ailments make you miserable, take Alka-Seltzer for really fast, really effective relief.
And now, attention, class, listen closely. Here's your first question. If you combine the symbols for molybdenum, thorium, and erbium, what would you have?
Say, there's a real puzzler. Did you folks at home get that? And can you answer it? Well, give it a try while we have roll call here in our classroom. And here they are, the Quiz Kids. And now here's the man who fires a battery of questions into the battle of brains and who is sometimes battered down by the answers, your own chief quizzer, Joe Kelly.
Thank you, Franklin Ferguson, and hello, everyone. Well, speaking of battles, we have a real one lined up for you today, friends. It's the Quiz Kids versus Quiz Kids Mothers. Yes, today on Mother's Day, the youngsters here in our classroom are going to match wits with their mothers, and, well, the sparks should fly. It's all in friendly fun, however. If you could see these kiddies, you could tell they're really mighty proud to have Mom attending school this afternoon. You know, just before we went on the air, each youngster gave his mother a beautiful corsage. And I can tell you, the four lovely ladies seated here in front of me look mighty proud and happy, too. Well, let's have roll call right now and identify them. Here we go. Sarah?
I'm Mrs. Saul Kupperman, housewife. My husband's a structural engineer.
And her son?
I'm Joel Kupperman, age 11 and 7/8.
Mrs. Kupperman, I don't believe you gave your age.
Oh, well, we weren't told to.
Oh, is that so? Well, all right. Well, then we'll just skip it. Next, we have Alma.
I'm Mrs. Joe Mullen, housewife. My husband teaches at the University of Chicago.
And her son?
I'm Mike Mullen. I'm 10 years old and in grade 5.
Marcella?
I'm Mrs. Patrick Conlon. I'm a housewife, and my husband is an attorney at law.
And her son?
I am Patrick Owen Conlon. I'm 10 years old and in sixth grade.
And Rose?
I'm Mrs. Julius Cooks. I'm a housewife, and my husband is employed at Armoring Company.
And her daughter?
I'm Naomi Cooks. I'm 9 years old and in the sixth grade.
All right. Now then, which team can answer that first question from Mrs. I.O. Ebert of Washington, D.C.? If you combine the symbols for molybdenum, thorium, and erbium, what would you have? We have about five hands up here, and little Patrick's hand was up first. All right, Pat.
Well, molybdenum is M-O.
M-O.
Thorium is T-H.
T-H.
And erbium is E-R, so it's mother.
That's right, Patrick. Mother. That's our first question on this Mother's Day. Yes, sir. Of course, we're just joking. There's a lot more to mother than just molybdenum and thorium and erbium. Well, you knew the answer to that one right off, and that means that Mrs. I.O. Ebert of Washington, D.C. wins a fine Zenith Transoceanic Portable Radio, the most outstanding in its field today. That's the reward that Alka-Seltzer gives to every listener who sends us a question which is used on our program. If your question is answered correctly, you get your fine Zenith Transoceanic Standard Shortwave Portable Radio in a handsome luggage case. If your question is missed, the reward is a magnificent 239-50 Zenith radio phonograph combination. This has the automatic record changer, the new Cobra tone arm, two FM bands, and it's a real beauty. You'll be exceptionally proud of either Zenith radio, so send those questions along, folks. Send them to Quiz Kids, Chicago. Well, this question is from Billy Fritz Helwing of West Allis, Wisconsin. If after school you Quiz Kids were to bring home Little Bo Peep, Little Boy Blue, Br'er Rabbit, and Peter Pan, what one place might you stop to pick them up other than the library or a bookshop? First hand up, Mrs. Mullen.
The grocery store.
Why do you say it's the grocery store?
Peter Pan is peanut butter.
Yes.
Br'er Rabbit is molasses.
Molasses.
And what was the other?
Little Boy Blue.
Oh, that's a rinse, starch, or bluing.
Bluing, yes. No coaching the audience. Now, little Bo Peep is what?
Well, that's the rinse, isn't it?
Well, now, wait a minute. We have some more hands
up
there.
No, little Bo Peep is ammonia.
That's right, Mrs. Cook. That's absolutely right. Uh-huh. Well, I'm glad to see that you know your groceries. Yes, sirree. Here's our next question. Rosalind Samfield of Memphis, Tennessee. Supposes you children had favorite lullabies that your mother sang to you to put you to sleep way back when you were little children. Can you still remember the names after all these years? Patrick?
Well, I remember one that I like very much. It's Tura Lura Lura.
Oh, that's a dandy. And how
the
about...
The Irish lullaby.
Uh-huh, that's right. And how about you, Naomi?
Well, I remember Brahms' lullaby.
Brahms' lullaby? Watch your chair there, Patrick. Don't fall off. Well, now, Joel?
Well, my favorite lullaby is Brahms' lullaby, but my mom never sang me to sleep.
She never sang you to sleep at all?
No.
Oh, uh-huh. Well, now can you, mothers still remember them, and can you sing them for us? With the exception, of course, Mrs. Copperman. Joel says she didn't sing in the speech. Huh? How about the, Mrs. Cooks?
Well, I'll try. I used to kind of add in some of my own words.
Well, that's all right. That's perfect. All right.
Lullaby and... Go to sleep with roses, do, do, do. Go to sleep, Naomi dear. Go to sleep, dear baby.
Ah, oh, that's fine. That's wonderful. All right, so how about you, Mrs. Conlon?
I'll try, too.
All right.
Tura-lura-lura, tura-lura-lura, tura-lura-lura. That's an Irish lullaby.
Oh, that's fine. That's all right. Mrs. Mullen?
I think Michael liked Kentucky Babe and Brahms' Lullaby, but Mark had a favorite that was really not a lullaby. It's an old Welsh love song, I think. It's called All Through the Night. And we never knew why he liked it until one time he asked me to sing the Piece of Candy song. Found out later that he'd misunderstood the words all the time. The first line is... Sleep, my love, and peace attend thee.
Oh.
But Mark thought
baby
that I was...
Baby talk, peace attend thee.
So he asked me to sing it like this.
All right, let's hear.
Wait. Sleep, my love, and peace of candy all through the night.
Oh, that's cute. Mrs. Copperman has her hand up.
Well, Joe says I never sang to him, but he used to sing himself to sleep. Two is far, far and far is eight. Eight and eight is 16. 16 and 16 is 32.
Oh, wonderful. It's just like Joel, yeah. Mathematically speaking, of course. Well, those were all very, very good, and we enjoyed them very much. Now, here's our next question. Tom Grishaber of Appleton, Wisconsin, says he often hears Latin expressions used in everyday conversation. He's curious to know just what is the literal translation of these phrases. The first one, alma mater, the literal translation. Mrs. Mullen.
Tender mother.
Well, you're pretty close. Pretty close. Mrs. Copperman?
Is that old mother?
No. Mother is the last word. Mrs. Conlon?
I think it's just our mother.
No. Mrs. Mullen?
In Spanish, it would mean soul or spirit. And in Latin, I think it's the idea of care.
Well, that's
carefulness,
that's very
tenderness.
Very close. It really means foster,
foster
mother. That's the literal translation. All right, see if you get this next one here. Ad lib. Ad lib. What's the literal translation of ad lib? Patrick?
Well, that's off the record or something like that. It's not according to schedule.
Well, let's see. Mrs. Conlon?
To speak freely, I think, is the
Well, that's very, very close. Mrs. Mullen?
At liberty.
Well, at liberty, that's the literal translation of ad lib. That's right. Well, you missed on that, and that means that Tom Grishaber of Abilene, Wisconsin, is going to get one of the big 239-50 Zenith radio phonograph combinations from the makers of Alka-Seltzer. Now, Harold Levine of Binghamton, New York, wants us to have some fun with his question. You are to use automobile terms to describe a defeated politician. For instance, you might say he doesn't have the spark he once had. That's the idea. Patrick?
Somebody threw a monkey wrench in his wheels of policy, or its wheels aren't working anymore.
Well, that's a good one for a starter. Mrs. Kupperman?
He's thinking in the Ford.
He's what?
He's thinking in the Ford.
Oh, he's thinking in the Ford. And Mrs. Cook? Mrs. Conlon?
He certainly had a muffler put on him.
I certainly had a muffler put on him. That's a dandy, Joel.
Out of gas, or you could say he's just tired.
Tired, Mike?
Well, you might say that if he had been defeated a long time ago, you might say he was an old jalopy.
He's an old jalopy, yeah, that's a good one, too. Well, that bell brings the first question session between the Quiz Kids and their mothers to a close. And the scores up to now are Quiz Kids 45 and Mothers 60. Well, what do you know about that? Oh, boy, that's nice going, Mothers. Yes, sir, indeed. That's very nice going, but this battle isn't over yet. The Quiz Kids have a surprise for you. They have arranged to run in an entire fresh team of their brothers and sisters. They brought them along just in case. And now, while we get this brother and sister relief team ready for roll call, here is Franklin Ferguson with a special guest.
Yes, and she's a typical mother. She's receiving special honors today, but we say she deserves them every day of the year, for she's the mainstay of every household, the person who anticipates the family's wants and needs, who supplies their comfort, and who is the mediator in all those little irritating situations that arise.
Thank you, Mr. Ferguson. Every mother appreciates those words. But in speaking of those little irritating situations that arise in every household, do you realize how often we mothers need help in straightening them out?
Help? Let's see now. You wouldn't mean...
Yes, indeed I would mean Alka-Seltzer, as you very well know. Why, when a man of the house comes home after a hard day at the office, and he's cross and irritable with a headache, we let Alka-Seltzer help straighten that situation out.
Of course it does, and in a hurry, too, right?
Yes, that's very true. That's what we like about Alka-Seltzer. It's so dependable, always so fast-acting, not only for relief from occasional headache, but for acid indigestion, too. Why, when someone in the family overeats, out comes the Alka-Seltzer bottle. And when someone in the family has a cold... Well, we found that Alka-Seltzer's ABC cold comfort treatment is ever so helpful in relieving so much of the distress.
Well, say, I certainly don't have to convince you that it's a good idea to get the extra package when you buy Alka-Seltzer.
I know it is, Mr. Ferguson. I always ask for two packages of Alka-Seltzer instead of one. And I can give you the reason in rhyme, too. An extra package on the side keeps the family well supplied.
All right, now here we go with the second half of our contest, and this time, competing against their own mothers, we have Joel's sister.
I'm Joel's sister, Harriet Kupperman. I'm 13 years old and in 1A.
Mike's brother?
I'm Mike's brother. I'm Mark Mullen. I'm 7 years old and in second grade.
Patrick's sister?
I am Pat's sister. I'm Sheila Conlon in third grade. I'm 8 years old in third grade.
And Naomi's brother?
I'm Naomi's brother, George Crooks. I'm 14 years old and in 8A.
All right, here we go now with our double board. Mrs. Merle Hoffman of North Manchester, Indiana, points out that mothers oftentimes have very unusual situations to meet in connection with their children. What mother found she could identify her son by his peculiar habit of putting his hand over his face when she touched him? Harriet?
Mrs. Canty in The Prince and the Pauper.
That's right, the mother of Tom Canty. That's right, honey. Now, what mother sang so poorly in public on one occasion she thought she embarrassed her own son? No hands up. Mrs. Mullen?
I did.
You did. We almost caught you off guard there, didn't we? Well, what was that one about the Boy Scout meeting?
Yes.
I understand Mike did a little blushing. What did Mark think of it?
Well, Mark said that I hadn't embarrassed him, and I felt all right about it until he said, "I just figured nobody would know you were my mother."
Well, you sounded all right on that singing question a little while ago, I want to tell you. Now, here's the next question. I'm sure we all enjoy watching for various kinds of birds as they return from their winter migration. But according to Harry R. Smith of Evanston, Illinois, there are a number of birds that just stay at home all the year round. Now, can you name any of these stay-at-homes, Mrs. Kupperman?
Well, we have a robin that stays at our place all year round.
All year round, a robin?
It has its nest in the eaves of the porch. And then we have the cardinal that stays, too. Unusually so, but it does.
Well, both of those are very unusual. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And, Martin?
The owl stays.
Yeah, the owl.
The pigeon.
Yes, the owls and the pigeon, yes. And Mrs. Collins?
A sparrow stays around all the time.
That's right.
And I've seen crows most all the
yes,
time.
Yes, crows do, too. Mm-hmm. All right, and Harriet?
Some woodpeckers do, too.
Some woodpeckers, that's right. Now then, you'll have to think back quite a few years on this question from Lewis R. Owens of Jacksonville, Florida. Can you name three makes of automobiles that are no longer manufactured? George?
There's the Apperson Jackrabbit,
yeah.
The Briscoe,
yeah.
And the Duryea.
The Duryea. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And there's the Duesenberg.
The Duesenberg, yes.
The Auburn.
Auburn.
The
Merriman.
The Marion.
Merriman.
The Moon.
The Moon. I remember all of them very well. Go ahead, George. Go on.
Haynes Apperson.
The Haynes Apperson, yeah.
And
all right, well, let's, Mrs. Kupperman.
Jack Benny's Maxwell.
Jack Benny's Maxwell.
And an old Essex we used to have.
Essex. And, Mrs. Collins?
Graham Page, I
think. Graham Page and, Mrs. Cooks?
The Rio. Is that an old one?
Yeah, the Rio.
And
that's
the Briscoe.
Right. And the what?
Briscoe.
The Briscoe.
Oh, maybe you don't remember that.
No, that was before my time, really. Mrs. Mullen, what were you going to say?
The Overland, is that?
The true? Overland. George again.
The Buckeye and,
The Buckeye?
Mm-hmm.
All right, somebody in the audience and, remember that one.
And the Octomobile.
The what?
The Octo-Auto, rather. And,
What one was that, George?
There's
what?
Eight wheels, the Octo-Auto.
Oh, the Octo-Auto.
Four wheels in the back and four wheels in the front.
Oh, I see, yes. Boy, when you had tire trouble, you really had tire trouble, didn't you? And Mrs. Cook?
How about the Angus?
Well, how about it?
You remember that one?
The Angus?
The Angus.
Well, all right, Mrs. Kupperman.
And they're not making these baby Austins anymore.
Well, that's true. I guess we could go on. There's about 2,500 of them. I had them all here in front of me. But, so here we go with the next question. Mrs. E.F. Foote of Appleton, Wisconsin, thinks that certain characters in mythology have unusual traits that might come in handy for any mother. Can you quiz kids and you mothers suggest any of these advantages that might be useful? Mrs. Conlon?
Well, yesterday when I went out to call Pat and Sheila in for dinner, I think I could have used Stentor's voice. He could be heard for 100 miles.
Oh, yes.
And then I could use a little bit of King Midas's golden touch with the price of things as they are today.
Oh, say, you're right there.
And the wisdom of Minerva in settling disputes.
Yes. And Mrs. Mullen?
Janice could look two ways at once.
Well, that's right, yes, uh-huh. If Mother did that, why, she could play bridge and watch the baby same time, yeah. Sheila?
Fireman and Bacchus received the magic pictures from the gods that was eyes full of milk, and Mommy could use that with three children in the house.
Well, you just bet you she could, yes, sir. And Harriet?
And Vulcan could fix anything around the house, and Mercury could run messages.
There's nothing personal in that, in so far as your father's concerned. I mean by fixing things around the house. Sheila again.
Pegasus the flying horse, Mommy could use that to get places faster, too.
That's right, you bet. Well, now, here's an opera question from H.J. Lilienthal of the Bronx, New York. What opera begins in a boudoir and ends with a reproduction of a certain fair? What opera? Mrs. Conlon?
I think that's Martha.
That's right, the opera Martha, that's correct. What opera begins in a man's study and ends in a prison? Mrs. Mullen.
Faust,
that's absolutely right. Well, now, let's see what... here's a dandy. Yeah, now, this question is from Miss H.M. Hendricks of Plant City, Florida, and you are to get 2 out of 3 parts. Name areas of land on the surface of the earth known as Greater and Lesser. Greater and Lesser. Mrs. Conlon?
Greater Antilles.
That's right, Greater and Lesser
Antilles.
Antilles, that's correct. Upper and Lower. Upper and Lower. Mrs. Conlon.
Michigan.
Upper and Lower Michigan, correct. Inner and Outer. Mrs. Conlon.
Mongolia.
I asked for 2 out of 3. You gave me 3 out of 3. Well, before we have a try at this next question, here's Franklin Ferguson to question our listeners.
Yes, Joe, and I know I'll get all hands up on this one. Here it is, folks. As you're sitting there, relaxing, enjoying the leisure of this fine Sunday afternoon, don't you hate to think of getting up early tomorrow morning and going back to work? And say, it'll be twice as hard if you wake up with an annoying headache. You know, that occasionally happens. And I hope you also know what to do about it. If you've ever tried Alka-Seltzer, you do, that's for sure. Yes, thousands say there's nothing quite like Alka-Seltzer for really fast relief from a headache. The reason is this. Alka-Seltzer is already dissolved when you drink it. That means its pain-relieving ingredient, sodium acetylsalicylate, is really ready to go to work instantly. And because it's in sparkling solution, that effervescent base, Alka-Seltzer, gets there fast, gives fast relief. So it'll pay you to remember, when headache causes grief, misery can be brief. Take Alka-Seltzer for relief. Ask for Alka-Seltzer at any drugstore. Get it in either the 30 or 60 cent size package.
And now, mothers, here's where your competition really gets tough. Because the quiz kids are bringing in both teams to compete with you in this last session. And here they are, all 8 of them. And that means that you mothers will have to think just twice as fast on this next question. For this question from Jim P. Matthews of Horatio, Arkansas, you are to name women who appear in Shakespeare's plays. And I'll call on first one team and then the other. And you are to name one character at a time until one team fails to name one. All right, let's go. Women characters found in Shakespeare, and we'll start off with the mother's team first. Mrs. Cook?
Ophelia.
All right, kids.
Portia.
All right, mothers. Mrs. Collins?
Nerissa.
Kids? Naomi?
Miranda.
Mrs. Kupperman?
Julia.
Joel?
Olivia.
Mrs. Cook?
Hermione.
Patrick?
Amelia.
Mrs. Conlon?
Sylvia.
Naomi?
Catherine.
Mrs. Cooks again?
Gertrude.
All right, Patrick?
Lady Capulet.
Mrs. Conlon?
Desdemona.
Joel?
Hermia.
Well, we had that before, Joel.
There was 2 of them.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, no, Helena, I mean.
All right, fine. Mrs. Mullen?
Cleopatra.
Pat?
Imogene.
All right, Mrs. Cook?
Viola.
Joel?
Lady Percy.
Mrs. Conlon?
Gertrude.
Naomi?
Lady Montague.
Mrs. Cupp.
Juliet.
Harriet.
Hero.
All right, Mrs. Cook.
Lady Macbeth.
After all, there's only 12 here, you know. Patrick.
Charmian.
All right, Mrs. Kupperman.
Beatrice.
Naomi.
One of the witches from Macbeth.
Mrs. Connor. We're getting down the bottom of the barrel here. I can
Lady
see that.
Macduff.
Mrs. Connor.
Lady Macduff.
Lady Macduff. Patrick.
Iris.
Mrs. Mullen.
Olivia.
I think we had Olivia before.
Yeah, we did.
I'm pretty sure we did. Can you think of another one real quick?
All
right.
Yeah, one of the other witches.
One of the other witches. Oh, fine. Wonderful. Yeah, all right. All right, kids, how about Joel?
The third witch.
I knew that was coming. All right, mothers, we're back to you now. Mrs. Mullen?
Rosalind.
All right, Naomi?
Hamlet's mother.
Mrs. Cook?
Isn't there a Rosalinda?
It could be. I've got a list here as long as that list of cars we used.
It's Rosalind.
Huh?
It's Rosalind.
It's Rosalind, isn't it?
Well, Rosalind,
I'm pretty sure it's Rosalind. All right, Joel?
Cecilia.
Mrs. Conlon?
Aliana.
This could go on all afternoon. You're all of you are just too sharp. That's all there is to it. I think that deserves a nice big half. You broke out, right? So, to keep peace in the family, we'll just call that a tie on that one. Well, let's have an expression of ideas from both you mothers and children on this subject suggested by Mrs. Frank M. Sherlock of Cranford, New Jersey. Do you believe that children should be seen but not heard? All right, Mrs. Copperman?
I think that that children should have a right to be heard and to express their ideas, but properly.
All right, Mike?
Well, I think if the quiz kids was going to be here, children should be heard, because if they weren't heard, there wouldn't be any quiz kids.
Well, now, what do you know about that? Yes, sir. That's right. How about the rest of you mothers? Would you like to get in on this, Mrs. Cook?
Well, I'm inclined to agree along those lines.
You are?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And Patrick?
Well, sometimes some people, I have a little habit of going up talking of being heard too much. But of course, I think that being heard is all right too.
Oh, you're in favor of you then? In other words, huh? Mrs. Collins.
I think children should be trained to be able to express their thoughts when they're asked to do so, or when the occasion arises that in the audience would like to hear what they have to say.
Yes, huh?
But I don't think that they should be taught to be too forward.
Mm-hmm. And Harriet?
I think it depends on the time and the place.
The time and the place. I think that's very, very logical. And let's see. Here's a little Mark here. Mark, what do you think, son?
I think it's all right if they don't do it too much.
It's all right if they don't do it too much. Now, how do you like that? He's a very serious little fellow, too, and he really means it. And Naomi?
I think it's all right that children should be heard.
You think it's all right? Well, okay. I guess that just about covers that very nicely. Now, let's see. We all know what names you mothers chose for your children, but Mrs. E.K. Chapman of Brooklyn, Massachusetts, wonders if you could make a good guess at what names are considered first and second in popularity for boys and for girls. Incidentally, if you happen to read the recent Gallup poll on this, you won't have to guess. All right, now let's see. We have Mrs. Mullen. Her hand is up.
John is the most popular boy's name.
That's right. That's number one. Place number one.
William is second.
William is second. That's right. Now, how about the girls?
Mary is first.
Mary is first.
And is it Elizabeth?
Elizabeth is second. That's right. Uh-huh. Yes. Well, there's the old school bell, and what a contest we've had. The judges will be ready to tell us which is the winning team in just a moment. While we're waiting to find out whether it's the mothers or the quiz kids, here's an important message for all you mothers listening in.
Mothers, are you having trouble getting your children and your family to take their vitamins every day? Try giving them one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules. Each one-a-day brand multiple capsule contains all the vitamins for which the amount needed for grown-ups and children has been established. What's more, one capsule every day is all they take. And one-a-day brand multiple vitamin capsules are low in cost. A full two-month supply for only $2. Ask your druggist for one-a-day brand vitamins, good for growing children and adults. Remember, for vitamins the easy way, for vitamins the thrifty way, the brand you want is one-a-day.
Well, here's the big news, folks. The final score for the entire Battle of Brains today, Quiz Kids 134 and Mothers 199. Hooray! Well, congratulations, mothers. Bless your hearts. Even with the odds 2-1, you fought your way to victory. And believe me, that's some accomplishment. I know all you quiz kids are proud of your mothers. And you children put up a great fight, too. Yeah. Each one of you quiz kids receives a $100 savings bond from the makers of Alka-Seltzer to help you with your future education. And each of you winning mothers receives a lovely Mother's Day gift from the makers of Alka-Seltzer. And here it is. It's the new Z-Net. It's the new Z-Net Portable, a product of Zenith Radio Corporation, no larger than your handbag, yet it operates on either battery or house current. It's strikingly beautiful and one that will give you the excellent performance for which all Zenith radios are famous. Well, we were certainly happy to have you mothers with us this afternoon, and we all had a great time. And next Sunday, we're calling back our winners of 2 weeks ago. That's Joel Copperman, Lonnie Lundy, and Naomi Cooks to compete with two new quiz kids, Noreen Novick, 14, and Whit Humphrey, age 11. And now until next Sunday, when I hope all you listeners will plan to attend school, this is Joe Kelly dismissing class. Goodbye, kids.
Goodbye, Mr. Kelly.
Goodbye, mothers.
Goodbye, Mr. Kelly.
Listen to the Quiz Kids every week, and listen to Alka-Seltzer's News of the World every Monday through Friday over most of these NBC stations. This is Franklin Ferguson speaking.